This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In this complex and sometimes chaotic world, we strive to get a hold of things by reducing or compartmentalizing issues and tasks into smaller, more manageable responsibilities. In doing so, we find that we're able to continue forward successfully. Similarly, as we try to pursue success in our relationships, it's critical to break the complex down to the simple. In today's message, Pastor Aaron gives us the key as he explains that it all comes down to love. This message was delivered on February 11th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Aloha kakahiaka kakou. And for those of you who do not understand Hawaiian, that just means good morning, everyone. And if you don't understand Hawaiian, that's okay, because I don't understand Hawaiian very well. And that's bad, because I've lived here all my life, yeah? In fact, I would have to say that Hawaiian is really my third language. My second language, of course, is English, and my first language, Pidgin. Now, if you don't understand Pidgin, you're going to have problems today. Because I will forget myself from time to time, and I'm going to talk that, especially when I get excited. So, if you don't understand something I say, just write the bugger down, and I tell you what I mean later, okay? Translation, if there is something that I say that escapes your understanding, please jot it down, and I will assist you in comprehending it at a later time. I hope that solution is to your satisfaction. All joking aside, I do want to greet you with a big aloha this morning. Just seems appropriate, yeah? With Valentine's Day approaching. And there's also the reason why I'm wearing pink this morning. It's for in honor of Valentine's Day. And that, folks, especially for husbands and boyfriends, that was my little blurb to remind you and help you to be successful this year, okay? So don't forget, on Wednesday, Valentine's Day. But you think about that. Valentine's Day is already here. It's right here. Seems like just a moment ago, I was up here wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And here we are. We're already 42 days into 2018. You know, I got to work 2 days this past week out in Kona. And driving across the saddle at 4 o'clock in the morning, very little traffic. I had so much time to think. And I started to think about this, about where has all the time gone? And more importantly, what have I done with all that time? Have I done good? Have I done bad? Or have I merely just existed? And then this thought hit me. The thought of, have I done anything important yet this year? In fact, I have done something that I promised myself that I would never do again. I've taken on 3 jobs again. Just like, that's just the story of my life, that I'm not happy unless I'm doing 60 hours a week on average. But in those 60-hour work weeks and all the hours in between, have I accomplished anything of importance? Now let me turn that question on you. I want you to think about it. In these 42 days of 2018, have you done anything that you would count as important? You know, the apostle named Paul, he was well known for talking about the important things of this Christian life. And I guess that's why they published 13 of his letters and then placed them into the Bible for everybody to read for generations. In fact, in his first letter to the church of Corinth, he dedicates a whole chapter to discussing the importance of having and employing the gifts of the Spirit, the healing, the teachings, the speaking in tongues, and so forth. But as he wraps up that chapter, which is 1 Corinthians 12, by the way, it's almost as if he stops to reflect. And then he says something to this effect. He says, you know, those things are important. Yes, they are. But let me tell you what's even more important. In fact, let me tell you what's most important. And this one is not in your notes, but let me read it to you. What he says that is most important. And here's my Bible. If I can get them open. Comes out of the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, starting in verse 1. You can jot that down and check it out later. But this is what he says. He says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. What's most important, folks? Love is most important. You know, the truth is that without love, we can have everything else. We can do everything else. We can gain all the possessions that this world can offer and still have nothing. The truth is that it all comes down to love. And yes, I did purpose to talk about this leading into Valentine's because that's what Valentine's Day is supposed to be all about, right? It's supposed to be about love. Not the commercialism of receiving flowers or candies or jewelry. Although those things are nice, but they mean nothing if they're not backed up by love. It all comes down to love. So, not just on Valentine's Day or your anniversary or Christmas, but all of life, from the beginning of mankind to eternity, it was supposed to all come down to love. That was God's original intention for this life. See, in Genesis 1, it tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says that the earth was formless and void. Now, I want to paint this picture to you because this is very important. God comes upon this place and he finds this place formless and void. Now, when we hear that, we picture something serene, open space, nothing, right? But that's not what it was at all. You see, I looked it up, and in the Hebrew language, what this was actually written in, they used the words, two words, tohu and bohu. Now, I don't know the literal meanings of those two words, but what I do know is that when those two words are used together, they don't depict something serene. They depict something in chaos. So God comes upon this place, and what does he find? He finds this place formless and in chaos. Everything here, but nothing working together. It's just a big mess. That's what God finds. But God looks at the mess, and like he always does, God decides that he's going to clean up the mess, do something with it. So what does he do? He speaks to the chaos. And what did he say? He said, let there be light. That's what he did. He said, let there be light. He spoke to the chaos. And what happened? The chaos obeyed. And there was light. That's the power of our God, that he just speaks and things happen. So God goes on creating like this. For 5 days. He says, birds of the field, birds of the air, trees of the field, fish in the water. He speaks these things and it happens just like he says. But after 5 days of doing this and creating everything else that we see, God decides that he's going to create his masterpiece. He's going to make a special creation. And for this, he's not just going to use words. He actually uses his hands. And what he does is he picks up some clay, some mud, some dirt, and he forms pottery. Now, this pottery that he formed is the most exquisite pottery known to man today. With all of the technology we have, we cannot begin to recreate the pottery that God created. But it wasn't the pottery that was special. It was what God did to the pottery. As you see, this is what, you know what he did? CPR. He breathed into the pottery. And what happened? Pottery came to life. He put his DNA in the pottery and it came to life. It started to think, to feel, to breathe, and to do the one thing that sets us apart from all of creation, had the ability to love. Nothing else in all of creation can do that. Only we can do that. To love. By the way, the word aloha that I used, most important word in the Hawaiian language, yeah? Do you know what it means? And you may have heard me say this before. Aloha, we say hello. We use it to say hello, goodbye. Aloha means love, right? Let me show you what the literal meaning of aloha is. Aloha is actually two words. Alo and ha. Ha is easy, yeah? Ha is what it sounds like, the breath. Alo, not so easy. I didn't learn alo till I was like 24 years old. When I started working for Hawaii Electric as a lineman. And the older linemen, they would make this signal to signal the crane operator to let something down. Alo means to come down, to descend. Alo is something from above. And that's what aloha means. Aloha is the breath from above. Pretty cool, huh? I point that out this morning because if you think about it, that's what we are. It's not just a word that we say. It's something that we are because we are God's breath. From above. And that's what it means. You know why God did that? Why he created us in this way? Why he put his DNA in us and allowed us to be able to love? He did it so that he could have one creation in everything that he created that not only he could love, but that could love him back. That's what we were created for. From the roots of existence, it began with a pure purpose of love. Of course, the problem is that we've walked away from that purpose. We always hear people ask, if there is a God, then why is the world so bad? And the answer to that is very simple. It's that God has nothing to do with it. He has nothing to do with our world and with our lives. Not because he's moved or changed, but because we have chosen to walk away from his love. This world is not bad because God doesn't exist. It's bad because love is so absent. If you think about it, every problem in this world can always be traced back to an action or actions that are devoid of love. And in its place, greed, deception, or thirst for power. Now that's the way the world thinks. But let me show you how God thinks. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." See, for God, it all comes down to love. He created us for love. And no matter what we've done or become, he loves us more than that. So much so that he cannot imagine eternity without us. From the beginning to end, it all comes down to love. And this morning, and every single day of your lives for this matter, I believe that our God wants us to remember this. And not just remember, but to do something about it. In that, He knows that we could change the world and all of eternity, beginning with ourselves. So this morning, so that we fully understand what love is and be able to administer it into our lives, I want to share with you the three essentials, the three things that we need to know, and not just know, but do when it comes to love. And the first is that love is. Love is. And if you're waiting for something after that, you're going to wait a long time because there is nothing after that. Love is. It's just that. Let me tell you what love is not. Love is not a concept. It's not an ideal. Love is not a scientific formula, nor is it an analogy. Love is real. Can be touched, can be felt. It acts and reacts. Love is. Look at what it says in 1 John 4. And as we read this, I'm going to have you underline or circle or highlight six words. Actually, three words repeated twice in this passage. Because I believe these are the three most important words in all of the universe. Starting in verse 7, John writes, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God." For, and here are the three words. Go ahead and underline, highlight, circle. God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. Again, God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. You ever wonder what God looks like? You know, some years ago, right across the street, my family and I was attending the original New Hope KL. And that's where I got licensed as a pastor. That's where I got trained up. That's where I did my first messages, was over in that little building across the street. Well, in one of my messages, there was an elderly man. He was kind of new to our church. He would dress up really, really nice and look very, very presentable. We used to call him the biblical scholar. Because he knew a lot. He knew his Bible really well. He had a lot of knowledge. But one thing that was certain about him was he was devoid of love. And later on, we found out that he was going around from church to church just to make trouble and challenge the pastors and challenge the ideals of the church. And he was doing that. Well, on this particular Sunday, I had given the message, and, you know, I thought I did a pretty good job. And then he got in line, he cut in front of everybody because he wanted to challenge me, and I could see it already. Oh, no, trouble coming. And then he told me, "If you think you're so smart, tell me this. What does God look like?" And I had to stop for a minute. I wanted to make sure I give him the right answer. And at that moment, I really couldn't think of anything. So this is the answer I gave him. I said, "Nobody knows. Because to see God in his true form, in this form, we would disintegrate to dust. So nobody knows." And he kind of chuckled and he ha 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 and smirked and he walked away. And you know what? That didn't sit well with me. That ate me up for 3 days. That ate me up. And this... I'm just playing the scene again and again and again. Finally, after 3 days, and you know, I should know better. I should have gone to God real quick. But after 3 days, I said, Lord, what did I do wrong? Didn't I give him the right answer? And it was as if God spoke to me and said, you gave him the right answer, but there was a better answer that you could have given him. He said, Aaron, think, what do I look like? And then he said, this is what I look like. Have you ever seen a mother holding her newborn child for the very first time? As they stare into each other's eyes, not just seeing what's at face value, but actually looking into each other's soul. And I had. You know why? Because my daughter CJ, when she was born with her eyes open. And after they cleaned her up, I got to be in the delivery room. They cleaned her up, they brought her back to us. They put her in my arms. And there I was with this little human being staring at her, lost in each other's eyes. And it seemed like eternity. Until I heard a voice about 25 feet behind me say, hey, what about me? I turn around, the nurses and the doctor cracking up. I got so lost in the moment, I actually walked out the door. But yeah, I've seen that. And then he said, have you ever seen a man and a woman who you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I created for one another? Have you ever seen them take their vows as they stare into each other's eyes and make this promise for a lifetime? You know, I have, because I've had the honor of performing over 100 weddings. And I've seen some of them who, man, you know it's love because I'm giving them the words to say, but I'm not even there. All they see is each other and the life that they're going to have together. And God said, if you've seen that, then that's what I look like, because I am love. That's what God looks like. God is love. And here's the thing. You see, God, aloha'd, when he breathed into the pottery, that's the DNA that he put into us, love. Love is and is supposed to exist in every one of us. That's why 90% of the songs written today have some depiction of love in them. Some of them very tainted, nevertheless driven by love. That's why 90% of the Hallmark cards and Valentine's cards and such are written about love. Or at least they try their very best to explain the worldly view of love. You know, one of the things I enjoy doing when Carlin's taking a long time shopping is to go off to the card section and read some of the stuff that they write. Some of it is hilarious. Some of it's heartfelt and they bring tears to your eyes. But I have, it's part of my entertainment is that I just stand there and I read all the cards. Let me see if I can recall this one. It said something like this: my love for you is like a flower starting as a seed, gently put into the soft earth and covered, watered with care, sprouting up to meet the beautiful rays of the sun, all until the full bloom. Give me a break. That's not love. So many try to explain love, but there's only one place where it's described in perfection. Only one. It's found in 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4, where it says that love is patient and love is kind. Does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, and love never fails. Now I want you to imagine this. Imagine somebody handing you a Valentine's card, and this is what it says. It says, my love for you is patient and kind. I will not envy or boast or be proud toward you. I will never dishonor you or seek out only what's best for me. I won't be easily angered and keep no record of wrongs. I'll never delight in anything evil happening to you, but I'll celebrate when the truth wins out in your life. I will always protect you, trust you, hope for the best for you. And my love will persevere no matter what, because my love for you will never fail. Imagine that in a Hallmark card. Well, that's a card that God wrote to us. And he didn't just write it. He breathed it into us, because that's who God is and that's what love is. But it's not just good enough to know it. See, God never intended that we only know what love is. God intended that we live it. And that's the second essential, that love lives. Love lives. Again, it's never good enough to just know what love is. It has to be lived out. And again, that's what's wrong with this world, is that love is so absent because it doesn't live nearly enough to those who know. So it cannot be reproduced to those who don't know. There was once in Jesus' day a biblical scholar who thought he knew it all, and he actually challenged Jesus with this. He said, "Jesus, if you know so much, then tell me what's the most important thing in life. If I was to do just one thing with my life, what would that be?" Well, Jesus gave him the answer, but he didn't just give him number one. He gave him the top two. Matthew 22, it says that Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You know what Jesus was saying here? Put in a nutshell, he was saying, it all comes down to love. And this is how love lives. Love God, who is the source of all love, and let it flow from you into loving people. Love God, love people. Everything else falls into place. Now, I want to give you a slightly different outlook on this scripture. Something that I learned many years ago through a very bad fight with my wife. And yes, this is a lesson in marriage, but it also applies to every single relationship that you can have. But before I do that, I got to make a public apology to Carlin, because last week when I was up here, I talked about her snoring. I'm very sorry. And I want to make one in advance because I'm going to talk about it again. It was on a night many years ago that we were fighting. And I don't even remember what that fight was about. All I know is that she wasn't talking to me. I wasn't talking to her. And for me, it's no big deal because I'm an introvert. If I don't talk to you, it's okay. But Carlin got to be talking 24 hours, so you know it's bad. But we weren't talking, and must have been like 1:30 at night. We have this queen-size bed, 5 feet wide, 4.5 feet in between us. She was all the way hanging off the edge, and I was pressed into the wall. That's how bad it was. Now, I'm tossing and turning, playing over what I'm thinking in my mind, and very angry, and she's snoring. So finally, I was also working for Helco back then, so I knew that next morning I was going to have to get up early, and we would have a job where I'm working 13,800 volts live that day. So 1:30 in the morning, I finally give in to God, and I say, okay, I got to get to sleep. I gotta be wide awake for my job today. So let's get this over with. You can scold me. Tell me what it is you want me to know, and let me just get this out of my way already. So he said, good, get up. So grumbling, I wake up, and I say, what about her? It's not fair. And he says, no, I want to talk to you. I want to show you something. So he pulled me over to my desk. my study desk, and he gave me this scripture that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And he said, I want you to understand something. This is the way that I designed you, is that you are made to love me the most. So sat me down at my desk and had me draw this triangle. And in the triangle, I don't know why I did it, but started drawing lines through it. And then he made me turn the triangle upside down. And this is what he explained to me. He said, this is the love triangle, not the kind you're thinking of, okay? This is God's love triangle. And upside down like this, every line represents a relationship in your life and how important they should be according to how much you love. And he said, this first line, because you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, represented him. And then so forth, according to every relationship you have in priority. So Carlin, my kids, and so forth, down to all the way down here to the guy I just met today. He said, this is what that scripture means. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and love others as yourself. So I said, okay, I get it. I'm supposed to love you the most. This is what you're saying. But my problem not with you. My problem is with Carlin. He said, yeah, your problem is with Carlin. And this is what I want you to do about it. He said, do this. Can you tell me what happened here? Or what he was asking me to do? Make your love bigger. Love me more. And look at what it'll do to everything else. Because you see, he was telling me it wasn't the circumstance that I was going through. It wasn't what the situation that we were fighting about that was my problem. You know what my problem was? I wasn't loving her enough to get over that situation. And I wasn't loving her enough because I wasn't loving him enough. You want to solve the problems in your life? Love God with all your heart. I want to show you something else before I move on to the next thing. You ever meet somebody who just you don't want to be around because you know beyond the shadow of a doubt, because of the way they act and the things that they say, they have no love at all within them? This is what their triangle looks like. This is still a triangle, okay? But the sides are brought in all the way. And the reason why they are so miserable is because they do not love God at all. So they cannot love anybody else. Get it? Good. Now that is how love lives. Comes from the living God, first and foremost, allowing him to expand your love for people. And because love lives, number three, love also gives. Love gives. Now, this is how I learned it. I learned it that love begins as a choice up here in the head. That's called information. Then it flows into the heart, becoming inspiration. And then it inspires the hands and the feet to do something about it. That's called incarnation. Jesus said it like this. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't just know it. He didn't just say it. He did it. He died for us. You know why? So that we might live for others. Now, we can tell them that we love them because Jesus loves them, but it don't mean nothing unless we show them. In fact, that's what God did. Remember when he created us? He didn't just say it. He used his hands and his heart He is more than words. And the truth is that we have enough lip service in this world. And that goes for even right here in the church too. I always tell my little Hanai grandbaby, I tell her this, I tell her, 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 hands, 2 feet, but only 1 mouth. So more looking, listening, and doing, and less talking. Truth is, folks, that we need more hands and feet serving people into the love of God. Amen? And how? Well, serve people to the things that you love to do. If you love to play guitar, we can use you up here. If you love to sing, come and sing. If you got tech savvy, we can use you on PowerPoint. If you love to play around with buttons and stuff, we can use you on the soundboard. If you love teenagers and children and babies, God bless you. We can sure use your help in the children's ministry. No matter what it is you can do, you can do it to love people because love gives. And it don't stop when church is done. When the church service ends, the real service begins. It's when we go out there to our friends and our family and our neighbors and the people that we work with. And you don't have to say a word. I've heard it said, preach the gospel. And if necessary, only if necessary, use words. But you can do it by serving and loving them because love gives. So here's the homework assignment. My challenge to love, and that's blank for a purpose, because this is what you get to do, is you get to sit down with God and you get to ask him, Lord, who is it that I get to love into eternity? And you go ahead and write that down. I'll be collecting the homework next week. Just kidding. That one is between you and God. But hold yourself accountable to that. Because there's somebody who you cannot imagine eternity without. And that somebody needs Jesus. We come here and we sit, we'll set up the chairs and get everything ready to put on a service so that people can receive Jesus Christ. That's our part. You do your part and love them into eternity. John 13, 34 and 35 says, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Let me show you one more thing before I wrap up this message. And it's another triangle. I call this one the relationship triangle. Another thing that God showed me. See, every relationship is a triangle. There's you, and there's me. And down here at the bottom is God. See, God is a foundation of every relationship. That's the way that he designed it. Sure, there are triangles that God doesn't exist in the relationship. But they're faulty at best because they have no foundation. God is always the foundation of every successful relationship. Now, this is where relationship takes place between you and me. Right here. That's where we get to love each other. That's where we get to enjoy each other. That's where we converse. It's also where problems arise. Because problems do happen in relationships. Because of circumstances, because of situations, because of the differences in our culture, problems do arise. I want to show you something that God showed me. Because he showed me how to fix every problem in relationship. And this is how. No matter what you're going through, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's with your children, in your family, whether it's with your neighbor or with your friends, No matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation or the circumstance, every relationship is fixable by doing just this. You know, what does that mean? Whatever you do, always bring it back to love. Always bring it back to love. Because God is love. And love never fails. Amen? Here's your bottom line. In everything, bring it back to love. Because it all comes down to love. Amen? Amen? Everybody have a happy Valentine's Day. And I do want to say congratulations to Pastor Scott and Christy. 25 years? 27 years on Valentine's Day. You know, Christy, usually we give the honorees gifts, yeah? But you don't want to give us a gift loving this guy for 27 years. Because I cannot begin to imagine what my life would be without him in it. And thank you, Pastor Scott, for loving us in this way. I want to welcome up the worship team, and we'll call Pastor Scott up to wrap things up this morning. Love you guys. All right.
Like always, he does an awesome job. Thank you, Pastor Aaron. Sorry, but I do not have a pink shirt. He was telling me, where's my pink shirt? I said it looked like he was wearing a white shirt that was washed with something red. But, you know, yeah, it comes down to love, man. Love never fails. Love your neighbor. Man, so important to remember all the things that was said today. Before we go, before we sing our last song, I'd like to give anybody out there the opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to ask God to come into your life. God is love, and he doesn't want you to go on another day without him. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, would you pray this prayer with me? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you pray that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anyone out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? God bless you back there. Anybody? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. You've seen the hearts, and they do not want to go another day without you, though, so they invited you in. Come live in them. Lord, use New Hope East Hawaii as a tool to help them grow in love and grow closer to you. We thank you so much for their choice. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone needs a Bible, just let us know. We have some for you. You just got to ask, and it's yours. Before you guys go, we have some food. Please don't forget, sign up for our leadership class starting next week. It is just packed with great information. It'll help you with your walk with the Lord. It'll help you develop skills to do ministry. It's overall, I've been through that class several times because I think I needed it. But it's great. And so sign up on that table. We have many things that you can sign up for, so hang around. If you need prayer, let us know. We'd be happy to pray for you, pray with you, all right? Would you stand and join us as we sing?
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.